Mike, the underworld, was it hell? Was it the place where evil lurks, or was it something else?
And the answer is yes.
All of the above, right?
Yeah, it really is kind of an amalgamation. I should mention to the listeners as well, I have about 30 pages of this written up. It's available on my website, because this is kind of hard to follow, so I culled some information from some sources for readers if they want to get it later, just so they can go back and review it. But this is really the most convoluted problem to sort out. And yeah, in some sense, I almost feel like it's unsortable, but I can speak in generalities and then make specific comments depending on the culture. When you say hell, we think, because we are living post-New Testament, we'll say, we think of hell, because of Christian theology, the New Testament, as a place that's only for the wicked, and it's a hellfire kind of thing. It's burning and it's eternal. Now, you have, very early on, a sense, you know, going way back, you know, 2000 BC kind of thing, now way before the New Testament, all the cultures agree that the underworld is the place where all the dead go. Now, if you're an Egyptian, it's sort of a holding tank,
right,
until you're judged. Then you can go to the good place. If you don't survive the weighing of the heart, you're eaten.
your soul is eaten,
right, by monsters in the underworld. So the fact that they believe that would, of course, cast a pall on this place. This is, you know, there's real danger here. Okay, in Mesopotamia, you know, yeah, we're all kind of there. We're all kind of going to be there. It's not a pleasant place, but there are other things to worry about other than just the day-to-day misery of it. You have the underworld in Mesopotamia is run by Nergal, the god Nergal, and also by the Anunnaki, at least a portion of the Anunnaki. It's unclear whether all the Anunnaki wind up here or not, because, frankly, we just don't have the information. What we do know is that in some Mesopotamian texts, the Anunnaki have a very high, elevated position. And then something happens where, in later texts, they wind up in the bad place.
Now, are the Anunnaki, though, still considered extraterrestrials at this point?
Well, I would think, you know, there's going to be, you know, people, again, in our time that would think they're extraterrestrial. To the Mesopotamian, you know, we've talked about this before, the Mesopotamian, they're just divine beings, they're gods. You know, we don't need to drift into the, you know, the Sitchin territory, but there's no indication that they're from another planet, specifically Nibiru or anything like that. But they are considered divine. They were high ranking. Then something happened where they get sent here, but, you know, they still have power, so they sort of run the show. There are texts that describe, kind of like Egypt, the weighing of the heart, that people are judged in the Mesopotamian underworld to see how bad you really get it.
Mm-hmm.
They go before the Anunnaki and before Nergal, and essentially they hear the case and they say, well, you know, the day-to-day misery is good enough for you, or you think you had it bad up to this point. You know, wait till you see what we have in store for you over here. So there is, it's bad and worse in Mesopotamia. You don't have the good and the evil sense. So that's really unlike hell, other than you get divine beings inhabiting this place that aren't really nice. Now, if you go to Ugarit, that's ancient Syria, again, everybody goes there, but it's populated primarily at Ugarit by the Rephaim. Now, that should be a term that's familiar to your listeners. The Rephaim, in the Old Testament, in the Bible, were descendants of the giants, of the Nephilim. Exactly the same term at Ugarit. There's no evidence that they were considered giants there, but if you remember back in Genesis 6, when the Nephilim show up, it says that the Nephilim were on the earth in those days. These were the, quote, mighty men. The word is gibor, the men,
right,
of renown.
Right.
Okay, that's what a Rephaim was at Ugarit. A Rephaim was a great warrior. So there may be some connection between the two ideas, even though there's no place at Ugar, there's no tablet you can, you know, come up with that says, oh, they're giants. Whereas in the Old Testament, you read in Deuteronomy 3 and Numbers 13 and so on and so forth, a lot of these references were, these are descendants of the Nephilim, which, you know, made them, you know, fairly sinister, but again, you know, whether there's a connection there or not. So at Ugar, everybody goes there. If you're one of these rulers, you sort of get to run the underworld. If you courted favor with them as a normal person, you know, you could do okay. But again, you're kind of stuck. There's no heaven in that sense. But nobody's burning up with fire. Nobody's doing that in Mesopotamia. That's not happening at Ugar. When you get to the Old Testament, it's very similar to Ugarit. Again, everybody goes there, but here's the catch. This idea of hell comes largely, let me back up, the idea of hell as an eternal, important word, as an eternal punishment is very New Testament. It also shows up in material that was written by Jewish writers before the New Testament, but after the Old. That did not make it into either testament. You start to get the idea of a burning place for the underworld there, but it's not eternal. You only really get that eternal punishment idea in the New Testament. So there's a progression. Now, in the Old Testament, you'll run into authors that say there's no sense of badness. There's no sense of punishment in,
right.
in Sheol.
Right.
That is not quite correct. It's not eternal, but The place of the dead began to become known as Gehenna. Now that is actually an Old Testament term. It in Hebrew it comes from Gehinnom, which means the Valley of Hinnom. Now the Valley of Hinnom was a notorious place. This was the place.
A real place?
Yeah, this was a real place. I mean, you could go there now, but this was the place where children, at times in Israelite religion, at times. You know, by foreigners, children were sacrificed, and they were literally passed through the fire. That means you burned them alive.
Oh, God.
This is called the little urns that the remains are put in are called the tofetim, and, you know, these have actually been recovered. Now, this place took on a reputation, obviously. There are some who say Gehinnom actually means the Valley of Weeping. That's a questionable etymology, but at any rate, this was a place where, you know, bad things happened. And the prophet Jeremiah actually says, this is the place, speaking to the Israelites who were wicked, this is the place where you're going to go when you die.